worries, fears, anxieties. All of us, as just being human, from time to time, we will be faced with these, and we tend to have them. But what, if anything, could be done about them, about worries and fears and anxieties? After all, we do live in a dangerous society. We do live in a dangerous world. And I think all of us should agree and would agree that no normal person can face life without experiencing some fears and worries and anxieties. But if it is normal, and I'm stating that it is normal, if it is normal to experience fears and worries and anxieties, then I also am stating, and I do believe, that it is also possible to get a hold of these enemies and to master them, to take charge of them and to get rid of them in our lives. We live in a world where there is shifting threats and terrifying changes coming about all the time, all around us. We could look at the newspapers and we could see some of these things. And I think that all of us could be, you know, really worried about a lot of events if we did not have God in the picture, if we did not have some of the promises that we have from God. And I think that one of our greatest triumphs that we would have would be for us to achieve some type of stable inner peace or lack of fears and worries and anxieties on our part, for us to be able to face the day without having these in such unreal proportions or unnecessary proportions. And I think all of us should also understand that in one sense, man is blessed by the capacity to know fear, because there are fearful things. There are some things that we need to be aware of. I think that our very survival is threatened if we don't have certain fears of certain things, such as the operating of certain machinery, without having trained information of how to handle it, how to deal with it. We should be fearful of some of these things. How do you deal with electricity unless you are trained in knowing how to deal with that? They are some fearful things. And there are some diseases that face us in our society today that we need to be fearful of, but we need to have the knowledge of how to deal with them, and that's the point that I'm making there. There are threats to our overall well-being. I think it is also good that we know how to grow afraid, because there are fearful objects and there are hostile forces that we must learn to avoid in our society and our lives today. We need to avoid them and or learn how to conquer them so that we can survive. And I think as a result of all of that, I think fear is sometimes a stimulus to growth. But there is, of course, a difference between desirable and undesirable fears. The desirable fears might be described as the emotion we experience in the presence of real danger. The emotion, this reaction that we have toward some real dangers, that is a desirable fear. But it is the excessive fears and worries. Sometimes it might be referred to as neurotic. It is that excessive fears and worries which seem to stop us in our tracks, to congeal us, that just keep us from moving forward, from going on. They reduce our efficiency. They also do one other very real thing in our lives as humans, and that is it heightens the fear of death. The fear of death, this excessive fear, is something that I believe that all fears center around. But it's not the purpose of my sermon today or this message today to talk about that. We're not going to talk about this fear of death as such, but we are going to look into this subject of fear and worry and anxieties. And we're going to recognize, obviously, that it is a very large subject. It is something that we're just not capable of covering in one time, or two times, or three times. It's a big, huge subject. But what I would like for us to do is I'd like for us to narrow the subject down of fears and worries, cares, anxieties, however you want to word it. I'd like for us to narrow it down, and I'd like for us to look at some ways that we can, you know, what are some things that we can do to reduce it in our lives? Putting it another way, and if you're looking for a title to the sermon, I would entitle it Cures for Fears. Cures for Fears. And of course, so not just for fears, but it also would entail worry and anxieties and cares that are beyond the normal. So what we're doing is we're looking at some cures for fear, some things that we can do. What are some things that we can do in our lives? Looking over in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10 in verse 41, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things." It says, you are worried, you have these fears, you have these anxieties. This word careful is what it is referring to. It says, you are worried about all these things, you're troubled about so many things. So we understand that it is there, that it does happen. Christ certainly recognized it. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to see some things in Scripture here. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then the next verse says, "And as a result of this," now it doesn't use those words, but that's obviously what the implication is, "and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This word in verse 6, this word careful, or the phrase be careful, comes from the Greek that means to become distracted. To become distracted. Then the word nothing comes from the Greek word that means not anyone or anything or any person, nothing at all. So in other words, what it is saying is don't let anything or anyone distract you, is what it is saying. Now, in our terminology, in our way of wording things today, we would state it along the lines of, hey, don't let anything worry you. Don't let those things worry you like that. Now, there are real fears. There are real things that we need to worry about. I've already talked about that there are. But I'm talking about this excessive, these things that are not the neurotic, the things that are not the healthy fears. But I'm talking about these other types of fears, and I think we understand that. And then we go down into verse 7. And then it says, "and shall pass all understanding, shall keep." The word keep, this word keep comes from the Greek word that means garrison. It means keep watch or guard. So in essence, what we are told is we are to be careful for nothing, or not to be distracted, not to let anything distract us. And that we are to let God keep or garrison us. And then as a result, like I said, it doesn't say these words, but it certainly implies these words as it starts in verse 7. And it says, "and the peace of God, which passes all understanding." That is what is going to keep your hearts and your minds. That is what is going to garrison you. Garrison is like the army surrounding you, taking charge, taking care of you on all sides. God is going to keep you. He is going to guard you. He is going to keep watch over. It is that terminology. It's that type of wording. So what are some of the ways that we can work on and not have these types of fears? Or what are some cures for fears and anxieties and worries? Well, I'd like for us to look at some points in regards to this. And we'll be going through, I think I have 10 separate points on this. And this is not the list to end all lists. And this could be worded in several other ways. It's just the way that I have it for helping me to be able to understand it. And I hope it helps you too. The first point that I have in some cures to overcome fears and worries and anxieties is we need to allow the peace of God to garrison or to keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. We have a part in that. God is there, and He's certainly willing and capable of doing it. We need to let it happen. We need to put it in His hands. We need to allow, or we need to permit, the peace of God to keep us, or to watch us, or to guard us, or to garrison us. And we see that here in verses 6 and 7. So that's point number one. Point number two is we need to renounce. We need to deny, and we need to learn to give up and to assign all worry unto God. And the way that is done is we do it by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and then we make our request known unto God. We see that also in these verses, chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, I want you to hold your place, because we're going to come right back to Philippians, but I want to turn over to the book of James, chapter 4. Familiar verses here, but I want to put it in the context of what we're reading here. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, putting it in this context of the second point of how to work on having cures to our fears is we need to learn how to give up. We need to learn how to assign the fears and the worries and the anxieties we have and give them over to God. And that's in essence what James is saying here. We submit ourselves to God. And what happens? Satan flees from us. And then we draw close to God, and God draws close to us. And that's exactly what we're needing. And so we need to stay close to God and give Him those fears and worries and anxieties. Now, I'm not saying this is easy to do. I'm just saying there is a way of doing it. You know, please understand, as we go through, they build upon, you know, we have to have each and every one of these points to be able to fully understand the how we do this. And so we're not talking at this point of how we assign these, how do we give these over to God, but we're going to see more and more about this as we go through. Okay, then the third point is back in Philippians 4 again. The third point of ways or cures for fears and worries and anxieties, number three, is we need to think on right things. And that we find that here in verse 8, immediately upon the following of this. Jesus Christ inspiring through the Holy Spirit the Apostle Paul to write for us, he is telling us, don't let these things override us. Don't let these things take over us. Don't let these things do this, because God is there for us to keep us, to garrison us, to guard us. That these fears and worries and anxieties and things, they don't have to be there, because God is there for us. And then he tells us, and then he says in verse 8, and finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and are pure and are lovely, and things that are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, or take account of these things. Meditate on these things. That helps us in getting rid of these cares and these fears and these worries. And so this is what it is telling us here. So the point number three is we need to think on right things. And he tells us how to do that. And he outlines it for us by telling us, think on these things. Think this way. And I'd like for us to go through this verse and break it down and see how we do this in this particular thing. The first point under this one is six things that we're told in this verse to meditate on. Number one is we are to think on true things. Now, what that means is this. Each one of these points we're just going to go through. True things, honest things, just things, you know, the list that's there. And we're going to look at them point by point and tell you in essence what the wording means. True things, it means all that is in harmony with eternal truth. True things. That's where you start. You have to start with things that are true. of what is true. Jesus Christ answers that, and he tells us in John 17:17, thy word is truth, or is true. That's the pages, the words that we find in this book. This is where we go to look for what is true. It's what God has said. That is what is true. And there are several places that you can see this without even reading these scriptures, but just let me give you a couple of them. In 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. You can look those up later. The second point under here, things that we're to meditate on, is number two, is honest things. And that means all that is grave or decent, honorable, and Christian. So we think on honest things. All that is grave and decent and honorable and Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and see something about this point, honest things. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. That's the same word. That's exactly what it's talking about. It is saying honest things, all that is grave and decent and honorable and Christian. This is part of what the bishop, as it says, the qualifications of a bishop here, is to be doing. Well, this is one of the things that he is to have. So are his children. They also are to be taught this, that we're to be teaching our children then true things and honest things. And we can see more and more about it. And you can see this, the same word in verse 8, the same word in verse 11. And then go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. That's what it's talking about. Honest things. Think on these things. Okay, then the third point under these that we're to be meditating on, number three, is just things. J-U-S-T, just things. And that means all that is in harmony with justice and righteousness. All that is in harmony with justice and righteousness. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's describing and telling us that we're to live by just things, all that is in harmony with justice and righteousness. And there are other verses that you can read in regards to this as well. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 31 talks about this particular point. And so does 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 4 through 10. So that's the third point, or the third thing that we are to meditate on, is just things. Number four, things that we're to think about and meditate on, and that is pure things. And that means all that is chaste and holy for both body and soul. All that is chaste and holy for both body and soul. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll see this, a verse in regards to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so this verse is tied in and telling us that we are to be thinking on pure things, all that is chaste, all that is holy toward both body and soul. In other words, our whole being, our whole way of life is to be this way. And we're to be thinking on ways. And of course, in the way we think on it is looking in the pages of the Bible. See, all of this ties in with how or what are some of the cures for fears. If we spend our time thinking on good things and in breaking, what I'm doing is breaking that verse down, verse 8, Philippians 4, verse 8, when he says, think on these things. breaking it down into the 6 points that I'm giving you at this time, this helps us in being able to get rid of these fears when we do the overall study. I could have spent an entire sermon just on this one verse and gone into each one of these points. That was not, again, my purpose. This is just one of the points that we're looking at. Okay, then the next point, point number five under this of things to meditate on, is lovely things. Lovely things. And that is referring to all that is pleasing and tends to bless others. All that is pleasing and tends to bless others. And of course, one of the scriptures that automatically would come to your mind in regards to this and how to see lovely things is would be 1 Corinthians 13, which we're not going to go through, but it talks about love. And then, of course, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So we see that it is a way of life. It is something that we're to be doing. So again, lovely things are things not that we just think on these things, but we actually live it as a way of life. All that is pleasing and tends to bless others. So we're starting to see that we're getting our mind off of the self, more and more off of the me, and we're starting getting it onto others, and then that helps us in getting rid of these fears and worries and anxieties. And then the sixth thing here in this verse that we look at, number six, is things of good report. Things of good report. And that means all that is in harmony with the best public good. Think things of good report. It's the things that are on the out. See, again, this is away from the self. We're getting more and more away from self and looking to others and what can we do to help them. And that helps us to get away from the fears and the worries and the anxieties. It's also that it's things, all that is in harmony with the best toward things that are virtuous and things that are praiseworthy. And again, that is looking toward others. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 10, Romans 13, verses 1 through 10, and then in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. That is the third point. Let me go back to make sure that you're where I am, that we're at the same place. We're looking at ways that we can work on, that we can get rid of, or cures for our fears and worries and anxieties. And I've given you 3 points. The first one was that we need to allow, we need to permit the peace of God to garrison us, to guard us, to watch over us, our minds and our hearts through Jesus Christ. The second one is that we need to learn how to renounce them, to deny them, and to give them over to God. And then we do this by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, as it says, make all your requests be made known to God. And then the third point of these cures for fears is we need to think on right things. And then I gave you the 6 points under that. So now let's go on. The fourth point, the fourth cure for fears and worries and anxieties, number four is we need to keep our mind stayed on God. We need to keep our mind stayed on God, fixed, fastened on Him. We're going to read some scriptures in regards to this, and we're going to see this. In Isaiah chapter 26, in Isaiah chapter 26, begin reading in verse 3, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust you in the eternal forever. For in the eternal Jehovah is everlasting strength. We are to fix our minds, keep our minds stayed on God. And when we do that, these fears and these worries and these anxieties that we have become less and less all the time. And then you can read all of Psalm 91. You can see all of Psalm 91. And that also adds to that and shows how we are to have our minds fixed on it. The fifth point of how we are to work on cures for fears and worries and anxieties, number five, is we need to use the weapons of spiritual warfare. We need to use the weapons of spiritual warfare. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Now, I know that we know these verses, and I know that we actually know these poems, but when we put it together in this context, I think it takes on a little bit of a different light and a little bit different understanding. And of course, there is a reason for giving this, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. In Romans 6 and verse 13, neither yield or present you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so we are to be living our life in a way that we use what is there for us to fight this spiritual warfare that we are in. And we certainly are in a spiritual warfare. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now and see some verses still in regards to this about spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We are in a spiritual warfare. Now, obviously, I think you should already conclude, know that what I'm talking about in these fears and worries and anxieties that we have that are not the healthy kind, but I'm talking about the unhealthy kind. These come from Satan. These come from Satan. And this is part of the battle. He tries to confuse our minds. He wants to cause us to have fears and worries and doubts and anxieties. Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Where did that come from? Where does that kind of attitude come from? It didn't come from Jesus Christ, and it certainly didn't come from God the Father. Let's go on. The sixth point. Is we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to put on the whole armor of God. This is another way in helping us to be able to find cures and ways of getting rid of the fears and the worries and the anxieties. In Ephesians chapter 6, let's go there. Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we do all stand against him, and we certainly want to stand opposite of him. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we're to put on the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the Bible, of course, and we know that. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication and all in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to be praying for others as well. We're to be putting on the whole armor of God. And in so doing, yes, we're protecting ourselves, but we're also part of the doing this is for all of the saints. We do it for each other. Why? Because whenever we're standing strong, girded about, when we have on this armor of God, we're able to stand and we're able to help one another to stand. And we're able to encourage and to strengthen and to hold up and to do those things. And that's another reason. It's not just for the self. Oh, yes, we are benefited. We are benefited by putting on the whole armor of God. But so are others of the saints of God. And so we do it for each other. So point number six is we need to put on the whole armor of God. This helps us in getting rid of some of the fears and the anxieties and the worries. Number seven, we need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in God, that God is there, that He will help us, that when we come to Him, when we ask Him for help, He is there, that He will take care of us, that He will see to it, that those things that we have problems with, because since we're dealing with the fears and worries and anxieties, we have faith in God that He is there for us. We can go to Him, we can ask Him, and He is there and He helps us. In Matthew chapter 7, very familiar verses, but I'd like to put it in this context of having faith in God and helping us to be able to get rid of these fears and worries and anxieties. Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts or good things to them that ask Him?" And of course, the parallel account of this over in Luke chapter 11 says, "How much more shall your Father give you the Holy Spirit?" But He does. He is there for us. And this is the point that I'm trying to make in under this point of how we need to have faith in God. And that is, we need to have faith in God that God is there. He will garrison us, which we saw in the first couple of points. And He is there. And in faith, we can go to Him. And we can tell Him, "I've got these fears. I don't want these fears. And I need help." And in faith, we know that He is there for us. And He is going to answer us. And He is going to be there. And He's going to take care of it. Matthew 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you." Even going to God and telling Him about our fears and our worries and our anxieties and asking Him to take charge of them and to get rid of them. We go to Him in faith that that will take place. Chapter 21 and verse 22. "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Do we believe that if we have these fears and worries and anxieties that we can take them to God and asking Him to remove them and to take them unto Himself, that He will take them? Do we believe that? If we don't believe it, then that is a lack of faith. That's why I'm putting it under all of this, under this terminology, under this phrase that I'm using, this point, that we need to have faith in God. Specifically to the subject we're looking at today, we need to have faith in God. When we go to Him, we can ask Him to take these fears and worries and anxieties, and He will do it. And we believe that He will, knowing that He's going to. Then the eighth point is we need to live and walk in the Spirit. There's a way of life. We need to put these things to God. Let Him take charge of them. Let Him take them, and He does. And then we need to live in a way of life that He would want us to live. We walk a way of life. It's not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Galatians chapter 5. Let's go there in Galatians 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's why I'm because of scriptures like this, and there are others that go along with this, but this is a very clear one, that we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. Because when we're not, then we're going to have these fears and worries and these anxieties. When we walk in the Spirit, when we live in the Spirit, when we do the things that way, they're not going to be there. Because they are not of the Spirit. They are things of the flesh. Yes, they have been brought onto us from an evil spirit being. But they are not of the Spirit. It is something that we do. We allow them there, and we don't want them to be there. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And drop down to verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So these things that are of the flesh, worries, fears, anxieties, these things, when we're doing it, when we're living God's way of life, when we're putting forth this effort and really trying to live God's way of life, then these fears and these worries and anxieties, they don't have a place there. They just simply don't have place there because they're not of that way of life. Point number 9 is that we need to make sure that we don't cast away confidence. Cast away confidence. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. Hebrews 3, 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We hang on to, we hold fast to that there is Jesus Christ is in charge, and we have this confidence in it. And don't get rid of it, but hold fast to it. So this is why I'm wording it in this way, is don't cast away confidence. But we need to hold fast to confidence, and that is that Jesus Christ is in charge, that he is the head, that he is taking charge, and he is in charge of things. Coming on down, still in chapter 3, to verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. If we hang on to it, don't give it up. Still in this book, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We hang on to them. It's just another way of saying, don't cast away our confidence. And what is this confidence that we have? That Jesus Christ is there for us, that he will take over these fears and worries and anxieties, that we can give them to him. He will take them. He deals with them. And they're out of the way. And we have confidence in Jesus Christ, that he is there for us because he is the head of the body of which we are part. And so we don't cast away confidence, but we hang on to it, knowing that Jesus Christ is there for us. And then the 10th point that I have is we are to cast all care upon him. And this word care I'm using as a generic word for fears and worries and anxieties. I've been talking about this all the way through, that we cast our fears and our worries upon him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. For he cares for you. This phrase, for he cares for you, comes from the Greek that means to be of interest to. That means to have concern over. That means that it matters. In other words, he cares for you. It matters to him what happens to you. That's what he's talking about. It means that we are to be an object of care. He looks out over us. Cast all our care, and I'm using, again, I said that word care as a generic word for fears and worries and anxieties. We cast all of these things upon him. And he then takes them. Let's go back in the Old Testament to Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit your way unto the Eternal. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So here's where we're seeing that we're certainly to be just putting all our cares, everything upon him. We're to live his way of life. I also want you, while we're here in Psalms, let's go to Psalm 23rd Psalm, and verse 4. We could read all of it, but I want to read just this one verse here in this context. How we cast all our fears upon him, all our cares upon him. Verse 4, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, do we catch that phrase? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We do walk through it. There are scary things. There are fearful things. There are things to be worried about. But then we continue. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes, it's very plain. It's very plain in Scripture that there are fears, and what are we supposed to do with them? As humans, we're going to have them. Now that we got them, what do we do with them? Well, we work at not getting them to start with, but when they're there and we come to realize we got them and we don't want them, we want to get rid of them, what can we do with them? We give them to God, and he will care for us. In fact, Jesus Christ, when he walked around on the earth in the flesh, when Jesus Christ was here, he told his disciples not to worry about even their basic needs. He said, don't even worry about your basic needs, because God knows our needs and God delights in providing for us as his children. We have these fears and these worries and these anxieties. He told his disciples, don't even worry about the basic needs of life, that he is there for us, that he delights in taking care of us. He simply warns us to give him first place. Put him first in our lives. He tells us, and Jesus Christ tells us those words very, very plainly. And it's over in Matthew chapter 6. And again, you know these verses. But let's read it in the context here. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we can certainly count this as being, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, living his way of life, doing our part in overcoming and growing and qualifying to be part of the kingdom of God, so that we can be there as kings and priests and teaching others God's way of life that he is blessing us and teaching us now, and living it as a way of life. Then we certainly can also understand it. And it says, and all these other things should be added unto you. And one of the things that we want added to us is the blessing of these fears and these worries and anxieties be removed. And he will do that. He will care for us. He does care for us. In fact, I think when we really get down to it, I think is one of these must, shoulds. A lot of times we don't like those kinds of words. What do you mean shoulds? What do you mean must? I think it's a must, I think it's a should, that we should let God have all of our worries and our fears and our anxieties and our cares, because he is watching over everything that concerns us. He is involved in our lives. as long as we are trying to live his way of life and embrace those things. We read earlier 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. I want to read it again at this point, but I want to read it out of the... this book is called The New Testament from 26 Translations. It's very interesting when you put it together and you see the different translations, what they actually say about this verse. And I want to share that with you at this time. This is in verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. The phrase that's in the King James, casting all your care upon him. This is the way it's translated in some of the other translations. Let all your anxieties fall upon him. That's from the Moffat. From the Williams Bible, it says, cast every worry you have upon him. And then from the Knox Bible, it says, throw back on him the burden of all your anxiety. And then from the Amplified New Testament, it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. That's exactly what we've been seeing in the whole sermon. I mean, I like the way this is worded. And then the next phrase, for he cares for you. We'll see some of that in some of these translations. He makes you his care. The next one, he takes care of you. The next one, you are his personal concern. And that's in these words, the Greek words certainly hold out the different ways of wording it, because we are his personal concern. He does care about us. His great interest is in you. The next one, you are his charge. The next one, he is concerned for you. And then the Amplified translates it this way, putting that phrase together. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I believe that he does that. And I think all of us do. You know, he cares for us. He looks out over us. Brother, when we worry, when we have these fears and worries and anxieties, and I'm not talking about the desirable ones, I'm talking about the undesirable ones. When we have these as being children of God, when God is there for us, I believe, this is me, I believe that it is an insult to God for us to have them. Because in essence, what we are saying is, now we may not have the words, but I think our actions by us going around and living in these fears and these worries and these anxieties all the time, I mean, I think I've shown fairly clearly in these 10 points that he cares for us. He will take care of them. We give them to him and he'll do away with them. When we have them, it's an insult to him, because in essence what we're saying is something along the lines of, God, you are just not big enough to handle this problem in my life. What an insult. Of course God is big enough to handle any problem anywhere. Of course he can take care and he can solve our problems, our fears and our worries and our anxieties, whatever they are, real or imagined. He can take care of them. He will take care of them. For us to continue in our fears and our worries and our anxieties, I believe that it is a sin of faithlessness. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We were here earlier, but I want to read some of these other verses. Looking at some of these verses in this context, and we're going to see very plainly that God is telling us that we are not to worry, we are not to be over anxious, and not to be fretful, which is the way it's worded in sometimes in the King James Bible. And as a result of going through this, we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to come back and I'm going to show you, I'm going to point out to you 8 reasons out of these verses why we should not worry. I mean, they're real simply stated, but it just drives the point home again. Let's begin reading here in verse 25. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And in those verses, there are at least 8 reasons stated as to why we are not to worry. I'd like to list them out for you at this time. Number one, he says that life is more than meat. That's in verse 25. I'll even tell you the verses where they are. Life is more than meat. That's verse 25. Number two, the body is more important than meat. The body is more than meat. That's verse 25. Number three, men, that means humankind, both male and female, men are greater than materials. That's verse 25. Number four, men are greater than fowls of the air whom God feeds without their labor. That's verse 26. We're more important than the fowls, and he takes care of them, and they don't even labor. He takes care of them. We are more important. Number five, worry cannot change the body. Verse 27. Number six, men are better than plants that do not worry about clothing. That's verses 28 through 30. Number seven, God's providence is over all creation. Not only the birds and the plants that never buy, that sell, manufacture, or labor, or do any of those things. His providence is over all of creation, of which we are the prime part of it. That's verse 26 through 32. And then number eight, worry is useless and sinful and must not be tolerated. Verses 33 and 34. That's where he says, seek first the kingdom of God and don't worry about these other things. Now, does that mean that we don't go out and we don't care for and we don't take care of our families and feed them and clothe them and get jobs and do it? Of course not. It's not even the principle. It's not even what's being talked about. It's talking about this worry, these anxieties, these cares of this life. We're to put first things first, and we're to put God first. Verse 34 here, it says, do not fret about tomorrow, for the morrow will have its own troubles, is another translation of that phrase. And I think it's true. The care of each day is enough for us to take care of. Why worry about all these other things? We have our daily needs, our daily responsibilities that we're to be taking care of. Take care of those. Do those things. Thoughtful preparation for the future is not even addressed. It is not addressed. It is not rebuked. It is not talked against. It doesn't say don't do that. That is not what he's saying. It is saying being fretful about it is condemned. Being fretful about it. Worry, anxieties, fears. This is undesirable fears and worries about these things. So what do we do about fears and worries and anxieties? And I've talked about, you know, these 10 points that we've already seen about cures for that. But what do we do about it? What are some basic things that we can do? Are there some really simple things that, you know, getting it down to, okay, this is fun, but now what can I do about it in my life? What are some things that I can do to get rid of the fears and worries and anxieties that I have in my life that are unnecessary? I have four very simple points. Number one is we admit the fear. We take it to God and we admit that we have it. We address it. We recognize it. Now, I say these are four very simple points, but this first one is a very difficult point for many people to do. We have fears and we have worries, and a lot of times we don't even recognize, we don't even know what it is. If there are things that are bothering you in a way that you don't know how to get to it, don't know how to address it, you may not even really know what it is, may not even be able to get a handle on it, you might need to seek counsel. You might need to get help. You might not be able to do it just entirely on your own. However you come to the place that you recognize there are these fears, the first thing you do is you recognize they're there and you take them to God and you admit that you have them. The second thing is you turn the fear over to God. You say, it's yours. I don't want it. And you ask God to take care of me, as it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And He cares for you. That you in there, you are part of that you. We turn it over to God and say, take care of me. I don't want these any longer. And then the third thing that we do, of what we can do to get rid of these, is we believe God. We believe God. We believe that He's going to do it. We believe God that He's going to take care of these things and He's going to help us and get rid of these things. I want to see some scriptures in regards to this one. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 15, beginning in verse 15. 1 John 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear have torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So we need to believe God. God is love, and then we're tying all of them together. And then I have one other verse that I want to read. It's just one verse. It's in Mark chapter 11. In Mark 11, in verse 24, Mark 11 in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We believe God. Now what do we believe in the connection of what we're talking about today? We believe that God will take these fears and these worries and anxieties from us. So number one is that we admit the fear to God. We go to God and we admit the fear. And the second thing is we turn the fear over to God. We say, I don't want it. You take it. You said that you'll take care of me. I want you to take care of me. I want you to care for me. And the third thing is we believe that God is going to do that. We believe Him. It's going to happen. And then the fourth thing is we stand firm in that and we don't worry. When the thing starts coming in, we put it back to God and we say, I've given these to you. I don't want these. We may have to keep going back over and over and doing the same process. This is all part of a prayer. We may need to do this several times to be able to get to the place that we really can stand firm and they won't be there. Let's see some scriptures in regards to this, how the Bible addresses this. In Proverbs chapter 29, in verse 25, it addresses it. Proverbs 29 in verse 25. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust or his confidence in the eternal shall be safe. The word safe means set on high. and what does God set on high? Those things that He cares for. Those things that are the object of His, you know, that He looks out for. He will set us on high. He does take care of it. And we can stand firm in the fact that we know this, we believe this, and we live life knowing that He is going to take care of this. And then in Proverbs 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Eternal is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. But there is, in the fear of the Eternal, this confidence in God. This fear means awe and respect for who and what He is. That's what it's referring to. We respect and know, you know, and have confidence in who and what is God. And so as a result of that, we can stand firm in our place, that we don't want these fears and worries and anxieties. We know they're not from God, and we take them back to Him. And we say, I don't want them. I'm putting them to You, and You're going to take care of me because I know You are. And I believe this, and we stand firm in it. Isaiah 51, beginning in verse 12. Isaiah 51, verse 12. He says, I, even I, am He that comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forget the Eternal your Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if He were ready to destroy. He says, why do you have these fears of this man, of this person, this other being that's going to be able to do anything to you, and you forget who is God? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Eternal your God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Eternal of hosts is His name. And I have put My words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of My hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, You are My people. He is in essence saying, when we have these unnecessary, these undesirable fears and worries and anxieties, He is saying, you are forgetting who I am. There's also the scripture that says, that I think all of us should be greatly comforted by, and along the lines of this subject, a lot of subjects, but this one in particular today because we're dealing with it, and that is, if God be for us, who or what can stand against us? Not even the fears and worries and anxieties. They can't stand against us if we put them to God. If we go before God, admit the fact that we have these fears, recognize where they come from, then turn them over to God, believe that God will deal with them, knowing that He's going to deal with them, and then take a firm stand and state, God is my God. I believe that He is here. I believe He is going to take care of these things. And have this kind of statement in mind. If God be for us, who or what can stand against us? And the answer is nothing. You are His people. And He cares for us. I'd like to encourage us to thank God, and for us to acknowledge God, that He will never leave us. That's what He tells us. That's what He promises us. We can go before Him and know, and know that we know that He will never forsake us, that He will not leave us. And we also need to go before Him and acknowledge that He is there for us, always watching everything that concerns us. We've seen scripture after scripture today that shows us that He is concerned for us. He is there for us. And we need to make a commitment to God that we need to study every day, study His Word. We need to make a commitment to God that we're going to pray to Him every day. And we need to fix our thoughts on what is true and what is good and what is right. And that is, God helps. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you all.